Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come together, that we can listen to you, that we could worship, that we could praise your name. That through the words, we became quiet again. You love us so much, Father. You've sent your Son. You want to have a relationship with us, Father. We so many times are like a stubborn child, Father. He doesn't want to listen to the parent. But this afternoon, Father, we come and we sit at your feet. We want to listen to you, what you've got to say to us. Speak, Father, that we can listen. We've got our ears open. And I pray any spiritual ear which is closed at the moment, open up. Open up that you can hear what the Father wants to say to you. That you can hear, that you can absorb it, that you can make it part of your life. Because God wants to be part of your life. Thank you, Father, for this afternoon. Thank you for that enormous privilege what we've got, that we can come to the Creator of heaven and earth, that we can sit at your feet. We can't, with our mind, we can't understand it. We don't want to explain it. We just want to receive it from you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we were worshiping, I felt there's one over here who would like to testify something, would like to bring a testimony over here, that there's at least one person who's waiting for that. I'm calling it for it now, that you say, okay, you're waiting for that opportunity and then you will come forward. Is there one who would like to give a testimony of what happened with you, what you could see, what God is doing in your life, something what is stirring now that you say, yes, it's me, I've got to stand up, I've got to testify now. Mark.
The last couple of weeks I've been really struggling a lot to keep praying and be busy with reading the Bible. And as I'm trying to trying to combat through these times, I was just praying on in the shower today and being late to go to church. And in the moment I was just grabbing my phone to hurry up to go to church, and then this scripture popped up. Apparently there's a daily scripture, and it's one of the rare times I actually looked at it. And it says, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think it really signifies that, you know, no matter what the enemy does, or whatever happens in your life, just keep on having the faith, and you will walk through walls, and, you know, you will be okay. So that's what I want to share. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Summer, I'm going to continue a little bit with what I've stopped last week and the week before. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about love. Last week, I spoke about the love for other people, the people around us. And this week, I feel that the Lord is telling me I must talk about trust. But the Lord is saying, trust me. We've got to trust the Lord. And trust and love are actually so much linked up to each other. They cannot actually be separated. It's part of each other. We've got it in our daily life because we love somebody and we love something. But we also trust somebody and we trust something. If that chair was, for instance, broken and you had to sit on the chair next to it, then you most probably will think twice if you're going to trust that chair because there's a broken chair next to it. But if you see all the chairs over here, you basically trust that all the chairs are able to carry your weight. You just sit down in it. So trust is for something, but also trust in somebody. I'm trusting Renee. I even trust her with my credit card. But there are one or two things. Let's say if we're talking about a financial market and she's making a certain statement over there, then I will just make sure that information is correct. I will think twice if I'm just going to trust her concerning that. And then the same with God. God loves us and we love God. He loves us first. And God is trusting, or we are trusting God, but he's asking them, trust me. But God is also trusting us. But I'll get a little bit later to that one. And when I had a look at the word trust, I had on eSport, on I think it was Wednesday evening with small group, he was speaking about it, to have a look at the original meaning of a language, of a word, which is helping you to explain it so that you can understand the word better, but it's also helping with your Bible study. And it's not on the next one. On the next one, there will be the name of the website will be on it. So if you want to do it, you can download it. You can do it even yourself as well. But I had a look and I said, okay, but what is actually the word trust? What does it mean? And the word trust, it is a primary verb and it means agree, to assure, to believe, to have confidence, to be content, to make a friend, to obey, to persuade, trust and yield. So this is all what is in that word. The word is then pito, so in bracket it tells you how to pronounce it. The G is standing for, it's a Greek word, and there's a number in it as well. So then the Greek have numbered all the words, and that is now in the Strong, which you can look up those words. But if we take that look at that word, that trust is the base of two other words. The next one is faith. And then it says, from G3928. So it's the word faith, it's originating from trust. It's basically built on trust. There must be trust, otherwise faith cannot be there. And then faith, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. But then the word, the description there, it says assurance, belief, faith, and fidelity. And then another word, belief. So faith and belief are words which we use quite often in what church is concerned. But it is built on that word, so it has got the basis, it has got a foundation of trust. And then the belief, the word is pistio. And again, then it says it comes from the G4102, which is the faith one. And it is also belief, commit, to trust, to put trust in. So if you want to spend some time and you also want to look it up, that on the eSword you can download it and then you can look at each and every word. And it's sometimes helpful that if you're not quite sure what a word means, then you can go back to the original. And it can help you a little bit. So if me and Renee are sometimes reverting to the Strongs, we basically look it up on a website. It's not that we've got a thick book at home or that we are so clever, but we've got a base where we can get it from. There's also trust in the world. We've been talking about trust between us and God, but there's also trust in the world. And I've been bold enough to make a copy of the American $1 note, and it says over there, in God we trust. But have you look and see what is next to it? The pyramid with the all-seeing eye, which is just one symbol of the Freemason, which is on the $1 note. I know there's an American in our audience at the moment, so I'm not going to elaborate too much on it. But it feels like they're not putting totally trust on God, but they're also putting trust on the world. So if the one fails, then they've got the other one, or they try to get the best of both. I'm not 100% sure, but they've got it on their note. The Dutch are also very good with that. In the old Dutch guilder, it was written on the side, God zij met mij, of God zij met ons. Thank you, Mark. And I took one along. Yvonne, come.
Oh, I could not eat money.
Ga maar weer zitten. But it's on the side. It's written over there. God zij met ons. So as they were handling the money, God was, somewhere there. They put trust in God. It's coming from Romans 8, verses 31, where it says, so God met ons is, wie zal tegen ons zijn? As God is with us, who is going to be against us? That's basically what it's saying over there. On the new euros and all that, they've taken it all away. So there's not a general language or anything like that. But it's just telling you, of showing you, that the people in this world also put their trust. They include God in their trust, but then they trust money. They put their faith on money. The one who was very good with putting his trust in God was David. And if we take a look at what happened in his life, he must probably had to do it quite often, that he had to trust the Lord because he was in difficult situations. And I just took two Psalms, the one of 56 verses 4 and 11. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I've put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? And then in 11, in God, I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do? So he really understood it, David, to put trust in God, which means put totally trust in God. Not halfway or saying, okay, we'll see if it works out or if it doesn't work out, but to totally rely on God and put everything what you've got, as what we've been singing just now as well. You give it to God. You don't keep anything back. You totally trust God. The next verse, what I would like to refer to, is Isaiah 28, verses 29. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. God is guiding us. If we put trust in the Lord, then the Lord is guiding us. Unfortunately, we've got quite a few young ladies sitting over here, and they know that what is happening with dancing, you put your trust in the male person who's dancing with you. You give totally over. Because can you imagine what's going to happen if you're going to dance your way, and then the partner of yours is going to dance his way? It's going to be a total mess up. And it's, okay, me and my wife, that's a chapter, we made it very short and it's difficult. But when I'm dancing with her, then I look over her shoulder so I can see where we're going to. But she's basically backwards and she's got to rely on me where I'm moving her around. And we've got to work exactly the same at God. We've got to put total trust in him. And if we take a look at the word guidance, it's God, you and I, the two of us, we are dancing. So if you see next time the word guidance, God and I, we are dancing. I'm putting total trust in you. And I'm going to follow you. And I'm not going to do it my way. And yes, you've got to be totally trusting the person. You cannot also say, okay, God, no, I'm going to dance with you, so you've got to follow me. No, we've got to follow God. We've got to listen what he's telling us. And I want to have a look at a few scriptures which is telling us a little bit of the trust and explaining what trust actually means. And the first one I would like to have a look at is the one of Jesus and the rich man. I'm going to read it through, and as we're going through, I'm going to give some comments on it about Jesus and the rich man. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running. He is then Jesus, so Jesus was walking on the road, and somebody came running. So we must know that this rich man who wants to come and run to Jesus, he was in a hurry. He wanted to have something. It was not by accident that he met Jesus or anything like that. With purpose, he went to Jesus, knelt before him, which means that he also put him lower as what he was, recognizing him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" If somebody would ask me that question, then I would say, okay, sit down. Let me first explain to you. And it's most probably a conversation of an hour or two, or maybe with a follow-up with another coffee or anything like that. And then Jesus doesn't answer actually that question. He says, so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." We've been singing it as well. And then Jesus answers to him and he says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not be a false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." So he's done all the commandments as what they were instructed to do. Then Jesus looked at him and he loved him. He had passion for him. Jesus looked at him and he could hear what he was saying. He was doing all the good things, but there was something missing. And Jesus looked at him. And I think he must have had an expression on his face, something of, guy, come, I want to help you. I want to help you a little bit out of this problem, what you've got. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, one thing what you lack, go your way and sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this guy was wealthy. He had to sell everything. And I don't think it is just about selling it, because if you sell something, then you have got your money and you can put your money in your pocket or you can put your money in your bank. But now Jesus is also saying, not only sell it, but give it to the poor, give it to the other people. And I think this was just a little bit too much for the guy, and he turned around and he said, no, thank you, that's not for me. They're not quite sure about it, but it is possible that this guy pitched up later with the apostles when they brought the gospel. There's not surety about it, but there is a possibility that this was this person. But again, that is not confirmed out of the Bible. And then Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. Wealth was a very important thing for the Jewish people. It was standard about wealth, that they were wealthy. You mustn't touch it. Money was something, you mustn't touch it. That was their possession. So this is what Jesus has been saying to this person now. To sell it and to give it away was something which was very difficult for him to do. And the disciples were astonished then. But Jesus answered again and said to him, children. So this time he's not talking about disciples. Now he's talking about children. So which means it's, if you've got a few younger people or you've got a few people who haven't really got all the knowledge what you've got, then you will most probably say, my child, sit down. Let me speak to you. So Jesus is talking to them. He said, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? So they put their trust in riches. They don't put the trust in God, but they put the trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. And then the famous one, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, now who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not for God. For with God all things are possible. This camel and this needle, I'm going to give you two explanations. You can decide which one you want to go for. The first one is that they say that the needle was a certain entrance into a town, but it was a small entrance. And a camel couldn't go through it if it was loaded, which means if there was luggage on top of it, the camel couldn't go through it. It had to offload everything. It had to kneel down, and then it could go through the port. Then it could go into town. So it basically means what Jesus is saying over here as well. That guy had to get rid of something. He had to get rid of that luggage. He was taking that unnecessary luggage along to get entrance. The other example, what they're talking about, that's more about the eye of the needle. That we are actually a cable, a rope, but we twist it with other things around us. And with all the other things around us, we are too thick to go through the needle. So again, we've got to get rid of something. We've got to get rid of those other strings which are holding us. On our own, we can go through the eye of the needle. But with all the attachments which are joined to us, it's too much. So in both examples, we've got to get rid of something. And then we can do, like Jesus said to the rich man, you've got to get rid of your possessions, you've got to sell it, and you've got to give your money to the poor. The next verse where I would like to have a look at is Psalm 115, where David is just putting his trust in God and not on idols, like a lot of people are doing. They've got idols where they put their money, of where they put their trust in, And he's saying he's putting his trust in God. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to you, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Truth is necessary with trust. You've got to speak the truth, otherwise you're not creating trust. And you can actually say that trust is starting by speaking the truth. If somebody's talking to you and continuously that person is giving you information which is not correct, you're not going to trust that person. You're going to be a little bit worried and say, okay, wait a moment, I don't know if I can trust you because that information what you're giving to me is not correct. But truth is the beginning of trust. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And their idols, this is now the Gentiles' idols, or silver and gold, the work of man's hand, something what they've made themselves. They made their own God. They do not accept the God in heaven, but they want to have their own God, which they've made with their hands, which is of gold and silver. For they have got mouths, but they do not speak. So they make their idols, they make the statues, and it has got a mouth, but it doesn't speak. What is our God doing? He's speaking to us. Eyes they have, but they do not see. So the statues have got eyes, but they cannot see you. You cannot look them in the eye. With our God, he is seeing us. He's caring about us. They've got ears, but they do not hear. Again, those statues, those idols, they've got ears, but you cannot communicate with them. You can speak to that statue, but it will not speak back. There's no communication possible with it. Then he's talking about the noses as well. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They've got hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. They're passive. They're standing still. We've been singing it just now as well. We're walking with God. God wants to walk with us. There's movement in it. There's life in it. But the idols which have been made by the Gentiles, they're just, how should I say, a piece of wood or a piece of silver or a piece of gold. But there's no movement in it. And then in verse 9 it says, O Israel, trust in the Lord. So now that's what David is saying. Trust, trust. Put your trust in God. There's no other place. Put your trust in God. He's their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in God. He is their help and he's their shield. And he's talking about first about the people of Israel, and then he's talking about Aaron, that we are ministers. We are the people like Aaron. If we are busy with God's kingdom, if we are ministers of God's kingdom, then we are like Aaron. So he's saying to us, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. We've got to put trust in the Lord. And then out of putting the trust in the Lord, what is happening? And that we can see in verse 12. If we put trust in the Lord, then the Lord is going to bless us. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So there's a certain sequence which is following. If we do not put trust in the Lord, I nearly want to say the Lord is not going to bless us. But if we put trust in the Lord, then we're going to see the blessing. We're going to experience the blessing from the Lord. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven and even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given of to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any whom go down in silence. But we will bless the Lord from the time forth and forevermore. So there David could also see that it's not just a small relationship for a certain period, but it's a relationship which is going to last forever and ever, forevermore. And then he finishes off by saying, praise the Lord. Give him all the honor and all the glory. So David is saying we've got to trust the Lord. Then I just would like to have a look at a verse from Jeremiah, two verses actually, where he is also telling us that we should trust the Lord. Jeremiah 17 verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Again, the same as what we've read just now in the Psalm. If we trust the Lord, then the Lord is going to bless us. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope in the Lord. if we hope in the Lord, then we put our faith in the Lord. And the hope is also, if you've got a person who's got hope, he's positive. He's seeing a future. You're not going to say, okay, I hope for the best. No, you really, you hope that it is going to happen, the things what you want to be happening. You're positive, and then you've got hope. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, who spread out its roots by the river, and will not fear heat when comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. We are going to be like a tree planted by the waters. We've been singing it just now as well, that the living waters, the water from God, we're going to be a tree planted next to the river of God. But if you're going to be planted, it's not a matter of it's just somewhere there and we'll see what's happening. It's with purpose. If you're going to plant something, you're going to plant it with purpose. So you dig a hole and you say, okay, I'm going to plant a tree over there. And it's a tree. It's not a bush. It's not something for decoration. But it's a tree which has been planted to bear fruit, what we see in the last verse over there just now. So we can see then, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters, and it's going to be by living waters, which spread out its roots by the river. So if we're going to be next to the river, then our roots are going to go down. We're going to absorb from that living water from God, and that is going to be our food, and that is going to give us life. And we will not fear the heat what is coming. Fear and faith is exactly the opposite. We're not going to be fearful. We've got faith. So we're not afraid of what is happening because we are at the right place. We're getting water from the right source, and that is from the living water from God. And its leaves will be green. This time of the year, the leaves are turning another color. But the leaves are going to be green always. It's not going to change. So again, something supernatural. If we're getting water from God, and if we're drawing from God, then there's not going to be seasons in our lives. It's always going to be the season that we're going to bear fruit. It's always going to be green. Our leaves are always going to be green. And we'll not be anxious in a year of drought. So we're also not going to be afraid, okay, there's not enough water, which people are experiencing at certain parts in the world at the moment. Other places, there's too much water. It doesn't matter. We are planted close to the living water, and we will receive the water from there. And then the last verse, nor will cease from yielding fruit. If we know that we've been planted next to the living water, then we are going to produce fruit. Then we're going to produce continuously fruit. It's not going to be for a season. It's not going to be for a short period. And this is awesome to see how Jeremiah is starting over there. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, that he will be like a tree planted. So if we put trust in God, we're going to be like a tree, and we're going to bear fruit. It's going to be visible. We can see it. I also put Proverbs 3 verses 5 over there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that's happening so many times in my own life as well. And things are happening. And it's so easy to come with your own solution. It's so easy because you had those things before. You know exactly what the answer is. Or it's exactly the same as what happened last week or the week before or whatever the case may be. But just to stand still and say, Lord, what is it what you want? Is it now different from the last time? Is it exactly the same? But then go and trust that the Lord will give you the right answer. That we're not leaning on our own understanding. I'm coming back to what I've said in the beginning. Trust is both ways. We trust God. God is asking us to trust him. But God is trusting us as well. He's putting trust in us. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 4, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing man, but God who tests our heart. God is putting trust in us. If you take a look at it, God created heaven and earth. And he gave it to us. He put trust in us. Are we really doing what God is asking us to do? Are we handling the world on the correct way? Are we handling people around us on the correct way? Or we may be disappointing God? So there are two ways of the trust. It's for mutual. You can say trust is always mutual. We trust God. God is also trusting us. He's trusting us with the gospel. He's trusting us to tell it to other people. And I just went to the info table and I got a few things over there. He's trusting us that we handing out the invite cards so that other people can be invited to the church over here. He's trusting us that we've got a pen with us and you can get them from the info table. So if you see somebody, then give a pen to that person. The gospel plus the sinner's prayer is on it. And then the people can use it. God is trusting us that we're going to use that stuff. We even made a flyer which is telling us a little bit more about Shofar Utrecht. He's trusting us. If you haven't got one of those with you, please take it with you, that you've got something. So if you come, and if you've got an opportunity for a conversation, the Lord is trusting you that you're going to use that opportunity to share the gospel. We're also fortunate to have the gospel, because this is what the Lord is giving us, the gospel. We've got a New Testament over here. It's in Dutch. Take one along. Keep it with you. If you've got a Dutch person where you're speaking to, then you can give it to that person. You can say, please read it. Have a look. Have a look at what the New Testament, have a look at what is the gospel saying to you. In the beginning, it's also explaining the gospel very short of how it is actually happening, that the relation has been broken and that God wants to restore the relationship again and that he's doing that by sending Jesus. And we can share it. We've been entrusted with that. We've been trusted with bringing the gospel to other people. If we take a look at what the Lord is actually doing, that he's trusting us. When I read it, I actually became quiet and I thought, Lord, but I'm not really performing. I'm not always doing what you want me to do. But you put your trust in me to share the gospel, to tell it to other people, to be a living example of yours, to be an ambassador of your kingdom. Am I really doing that? And I've got to say, I'm failing. I'm not always there where I've got to be. I'm not always opening my mouth when there's an opportunity to open up. I'm not always there to issue these type of cards when I'm getting the opportunity. But we've got to get ready for that because God is trusting us. He's telling us, trust me. But he's trusting us as well. The last one who also battled a little bit with the trust was Mother Teresa. She said, I know God won't give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. She understood it, what it meant, that God is trusting her. And this is how we're going through life. God is trusting us, that we're going to be an example, that we're going to be, like I said, an ambassador, that we're going to be a mirror which is reflecting his glory, that we're going to be all the things that we've been talking about to the people around us, that people can see Christ in us. He's trusting us for that. Please stand. Heavenly Father, you asked us to love you because you loved us first. God, you're asking us to trust you because you always have been trusting us. And Father, you're trusting us that we're going to tell other people how important you are in our lives. That we're going to share the gospel. You entrust the gospel with us, Father. Such a responsibility. But we know, Father, we can't do it on our own. We need you. We need your guidance. We need your hand. We need that communication with you. We've heard about the other Gentiles who made those statues, Father, which, where you cannot communicate with, but we can communicate with you, Father. We can read about you in the Bible. We can pray to you. We can speak to you. We can become quiet, that our spiritual ears are open, that we can hear your voice, and that we can do what you want us to do, Father. And this afternoon, Father, I'm praying, if there's anyone in this congregation at the moment who says, but I've never started a relationship with God, God has always been a distant away from me, but you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you this afternoon, that you say, I want to make that step forward. I want to come closer to God. I want to acknowledge him as heaven, as creator of heaven and earth. And I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if this is speaking to you and you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart, then I'm inviting you to lift your hand. If you've never made that decision before and you say, yes, I want to make this afternoon, I want to make the decision. If there's any one of you who wants to lift your hand, who feels who wants to react on that invitation of God, that you can come closer to him, then you can lift your hand. And Father, thank you. Thank you that you trust us. But Father, we know there are certain things which are at the moment between you and us, which we first have got to get rid of. There are certain parts in our hearts which we close, which we do not open up. There are certain things which we actually do not trust you for, because our normal mind cannot reason it out, and then we do not trust you. But Father, we've got to trust you, because you're going to provide what human mind cannot actually figure it out or reason it out. You will provide. And if you are one of those who feels that at the moment there's something between you and God, that yes, you've heard today, God is trusting you, but you feel that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, but wait a moment, there are one or two things which I first have got to bring to God before he can really trust me and before I can really trust him. There's something between you and God in your relationship at the moment which is not correct, and you want to bring it to God before you really can be a representative of his kingdom over here in Utrecht and in this world, then I'm inviting you to come forward, that me and Renee and the small group leaders can pray along with you, that you can bring it to God, that we can pray in agreement with you. Father, we know that if we want to have a love relation, a trust relation, then there shouldn't be anything in between. We should totally love you. You totally love us. We should totally trust you, because you totally trust us. Father, I pray that you will reveal through your Holy Spirit to the people who are here at the moment in this hall this afternoon, Father, if there's anything what they've got to bring to you, Lord, that it can be cleared, that that relationship can be renewed, restored, revived, and that it can start again, that we can be what you want us to be, Father. Father, we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor, and we thank you that you've got an interest in us, that you've got trust in us, and that we can have a mutual trust relation with you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're still going to sing a song or two. We're going to be here. If you feel you would like to come forward, you would like to react on one of the two altar calls, what I've been doing, then you're welcome to come forward. If you feel there's something else which you would like to come forward for prayer, feel free. If there's an illness, if there's anything else, please feel free to do so. And I would like to send you to be an entrusted child of God in the week to come, weeks to come, because we're going to see you only in 3 weeks' time. And that the people can see you're a child of God, because you trust God and you know that God is trusting you, and you can walk upright because you know who you are. You're a child of God, and you go into the world as an ambassador of his kingdom. And I pray that the Lord is going to bless you, that the Lord is going to give you opportunities, that you also can testify what God is doing in your life, that you can share the gospel as what we've been speaking about. He entrusted the gospel with us. And if it's one of those tools which you want to take along, they're all there at the info table. Feel free to take along and make sure you've got something with you. I've never met a guy who represents a business and hasn't got a business card with him. So make sure you've got something with you. And otherwise, just go for the gospel and explain the gospel. You're awesome. Have an awesome week. May God bless you. Amen.